I'll open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. We are actually going through 1 Corinthians right now. But because this is a month filled with weddings and graduations, new births, and also a month filled with things that make us sad, I thought we would just take a break from 1 Corinthians and focus our attention on one verse in the Bible, Romans 12, verse 15. So if you would, please, again, take your Bibles or grab the Bible that's on the chair in front of you or look over your neighbor's shoulder, and I would ask you to join me in looking at Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Romans 12, 15, one verse, simple words, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, just a reminder of the context here. Romans is the gospel. Romans is the gospel. Paul says from the very beginning, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Romans is the gospel. And most would break the book down into two parts. Chapters 1 through 11, many would say, is doctrine. Chapters 1 through 11 is doctrine. That's theology. That's the teaching and the truths of the gospel. And then chapters 12 through 16 is duty. The call to duty. The application of the gospel. And there is a transition point that's evident in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And the mercies of God are what he talked about in chapters 1 through 11. So you can entitle chapters 1 through 11, the mercies of God. And then 12 through 16, the mandate from God. How do you live in light of God's mercies? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then, from here in chapter 12, verse 1, to the rest of the letter, he is telling you what it looks like to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Part of that is, what do you do when people around you are rejoicing? And what do you do when people around you are weeping? This is an application of the gospel. It's part of what it means to present yourself to God a living sacrifice. So what we want to understand today, very simply, in verse 15, is, number one, what exactly does our Lord have in mind here when he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and why? What exactly does he have in mind and why? Okay, very simple. Couldn't be a simpler verse, couldn't be a simpler outline. What exactly does the Lord have in mind here when he commands all of us as Christians, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? Well, let's start with those who rejoice. Who are these people? The context here is believers. The context here is brothers and sisters in Christ. The context is members of the family of God. They are the ones rejoicing. And at any given point in time in the life of the church, on any given Sunday, on any given Tuesday night at Bible study, on any given Wednesday night at Awana, on any given Saturday morning at the men's breakfast, on any given Thursday morning at the ladies' Bible study, there are those who are rejoicing. Right? If you were to ask them and say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing really? They might say, oh, I am rejoicing. They might not use those terms. It might be evident on their face or by their dress that I am so happy. Oh, why? Could be a variety of reasons. One couple just found out they're expecting their first baby. Ho, ho, woo, they're rejoicing. And they tell you, oh, we just found out we're expecting. Another couple just had a baby, and mom and child are home, and they're doing great, and they're rejoicing. Another couple is getting married, Saturday. Oh boy, the big day's coming, and they're excited and they are rejoicing, unless things aren't going well. And then they're weeping or nervous or anxious. Another couple is celebrating an anniversary, 27th, the day before the wedding, and they're rejoicing. 27 glorious years plus the 7 that they dated, they may have been together for 34 years, and they look like they're 34. I mean, that could be one of the couples in your church, and this could happen. And they are rejoicing. Or a brother or sister in Christ is buying their first car, or they just bought their first car. Or they just got a loan on the house, and they've moved into their new house, and they're rejoicing. Someone got good news from the doctor. It isn't what we thought, and they're rejoicing. Someone else got good news from the bank or from their investment counselor, and they're rejoicing. And one of my favorites, someone just had a family member trust Christ. I called my mom this morning and she said, guess what I'm doing? I don't know. I am getting ready to go to church. I said, that's great, Mom. My mom doesn't go to church, but she is today. At any given time, on any given day, in any given week, there can be those in the church family who are rejoicing. And at the same time, in the same church family, on the same Sunday, there can be those who are what? Weeping. Somebody else is weeping. One couple just found out they lost the baby. And they're weeping. And another couple just had the baby, but the baby is not well. Or mom is not well. And they're weeping. In another couple, the husband just walked out. Or the wife just walked out. And they're both weeping. A brother or sister just wrecked the new car. And they're weeping. Maybe not weeping, but the deal on the house fell through. Didn't get the loan. Somebody else got that house we wanted. We just got bad news from the doctor. We got bad news from the bank. We were turned down for the loan. Or, my worst one, a family member who was professing Christ has now walked away from the faith. And the parents are weeping. What do you do? What do you do? Well, let's think through the options. Let's take the case of those who are rejoicing. What are the options? Well, A, you could be apathetic. Who cares? Ah, so you're getting married. Ah, another wedding. Brother. Big deal. Yesterday, literally walking through the airport, and one person in the airport could tell that, you know, we're walking with, you know, there's all these USNA parents and grads walking around carrying uniforms and stuff. So he said, oh, new graduate? Yep. Oh, that's what says wonderful. You must be so proud. And then we walk up to the TSA agent who's taking the passport, you know, ID and ticket, please. We walk up, and she looks at me. She looks at Denise. She looks over. She says, looks like a whole USNA thing. Am I right? I'm like, yeah. Not rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. Kind of, you know, whatever. See you people come through all the time. There's an option, right? You can just be apathetic. Who cares? Oh, they got a new car. It isn't mine. They got a new house. I didn't. Is that a Christian response? No. It isn't, because Christ cares. We have a God who cares. And part of godliness is to be like God. And God cares about those who are rejoicing. So apathy is not a right response. What else could you be? You could be, letter B, you could be jealous. Right? Somebody else is rejoicing. Oh, yeah, sure. Your kid got to go to whoop-de-doo college. Yeah, everything works out for you. Oh, nice. Yeah, you get to go to a wedding. Oh, I've never been outside of Pueblo. You get to go to California. You could be envious. Oh, sure. And actually, I saw this one time, a couple that wanted to have children, and they were in their late 40s, and somebody else was announcing like their fifth baby. And they said, they're having their fifth. We've been 20-some years praying and trying for a first. Not happy. They were not rejoicing. It was like another blow to them that somebody else was having yet another baby, and they were having none. So you could be envious. Is that a Christian response? Envy, jealousy? No. But it can happen, right? Which is why Jesus is commanding us what to do. Rejoice with those who rejoice is like, don't be envious. Don't be apathetic. Option C, what could you do? Celebrate with them. You celebrate with the ones who are celebrating. Hey, this is happening in our family. You can be as happy, maybe even happier, than they are. Celebrate. Wow, another baby. Oh, can I hold him? Can I hold her? Oh, look. Oh, isn't she sweet? Praise the Lord, another little baby. Oh, can't wait till she's in Sunday school. She's going to be coming up front for children's church, children's message, whatever. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. As if it happened to you. Oh, they're getting married. That's great. I'm going to go to the wedding if I can. And if I can't, I'm going to, I don't know, get them a great gift. It was really funny to see at Jake's graduation afterwards. We had this little picnic in the park thing. And so people started laying out their cards, as in congratulations cards, on the picnic table. And so my old boss was there, Ed. And my dad laid out a card on the picnic table. And Ed was kind of holding his cards close to the vest, his card close to the vest. And somebody else laid out a table, and then he laid out his, and he says, mine is bigger. I got a card that I thought could trump all the other cards. And I'm like, that's the spirit. He just wants to rejoice. He really wanted to get a ginormous card for Jake to just say, Jake, congratulations. And this Ed was like, he was weeping in joy. The whole time, he was so thankful to be there. He couldn't get over the fact that he got to be a part of this. He was my boss from like 1992 to 1997. And he's thinking, wow, here, how many years later, and I get to be a part of this guy's. He was there when Jake was born, basically. That's the spirit. You rejoice with those who rejoice. As I wrote this, I was thinking about a good friend of ours, John Stone. How many of you remember last year when we had kids club, there was this giant RV parked out here beside the church? Anybody remember that? I mean, it was a monster. I think it was like, it wasn't Justin Bieber's tour bus, but it was, you know, the competition of Justin Bieber. It was their tour bus. It was a former tour bus. I mean, it was maxed out. I don't know how long that thing was. Well, John Stone is a friend of ours who, for a business, buys and sells RVs. And he had bought this giant RV. You might guess that the reactions among the Christians in the church were mixed. Think everyone was rejoicing with him who rejoiced? He said, I called him yesterday just to check my facts. And I said, I always remember the story that you told me, John, about the RV, but I wanted to check. What were some of the reactions? He said, oh, one person said, could not that money have been better used for missions? Now, people could say that about anything you buy, right? The house that you live in, the car that you drive. They could look down their nose at you and say, could not that have been better used for missions? And then you could say, well, what about the dress you're wearing? Could not that have been better used for missions? He had criticism, but what I remember most was he told me, Monty Tressler, a friend of ours back there, one of the elders in the church, called John Stone and said, hey, I heard you got a new RV. Yeah. And John said, you want to come over and look at it? He goes, yeah. So he came over and John gave him the grand tour, showed him all the cabinets and the features and the storage area underneath and the TV and the, I mean, it's got everything. I mean, it's maxed out. At the end of it, and John told me yesterday, he said, here were Monty's exact words. It's just like it happened to me. Monty was rejoicing with him who rejoiced. He's rejoicing with John. He's rejoicing with John's wife. He's not judging them. He's not envious, saying, well, I never got a 38-foot RV and probably never will. No, he's just saying, wow, this is cool. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'm hopefully going to sell it for a profit and give the profit to missions or something like that. And actually, he used it for a missions trip out here. He came out here and he helped with Kids Club and he brought his whole family out and he combined family vacation with missions. That's great. And this is what the Lord is commanding. Rejoice with those who rejoice. This is what Monty was doing. This is the Christian response. This is the right thing to do. And it's cool. Because guess what? If you're rejoicing, and if the rest of the body of Christ is functioning as the body of Christ, you've got a lot of other people who are rejoicing with you. And they're not condemning you. They're not criticizing you. They're like, yeah, I'm with you. This is great. And it makes you all the more happy. And you know what? That reflects positively on our God. It makes him look good. Like, wow, I want to be a part of the family where if one member rejoices, the whole body is rejoicing. At the same time, by the way, that means that at any given point in time, on any given Sunday, you could have many causes for rejoicing even if you don't have them in your own life, right? Because other people in the life of the body can be rejoicing, and every one of them who's rejoicing is a cause for rejoicing for you. That's cool. But at the same time, you may have many causes for what? Weeping, right? Someone in the church family is suffering. Someone's kid just got kicked out of school or got suspension or got detention. Someone's daughter just found out she's pregnant out of wedlock. Someone's loved one just died or found out that they have cancer. Now what do you do? Well, let's think again through the options. You could be apathetic, right? Well, it's not my problem. Well, sorry to hear that, but hey, you know what? That's life. Just kind of like you don't really care. Is that the Christian response? Not at all, because God cares. God knows when we're hurting. He knows when you're crying. He knows when you're suffering, and he cares. You could be mean. Be mean. Hey, I could get kicked out of school. It's about time. I thought he should have got kicked out a long time ago. I'm surprised it took this long. You could be mean. Because that's the way we can get sometimes. She got pregnant? Well, I'm not surprised. I've been talking about the clothing she wears. You can just use it as an opportunity to get in your dibs. Or your digs. Not dibs. Digs. Dibs is something different. But is meanness a Christian response? Never. Not at all. You could see, cry with them. Maybe the tears don't come, but you hurt with them. You can have compassion on them. You can seek to comfort them. You can be of the same mind that they are, which if you look at the text, rejoice with those who rejoice, verse 15, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. That's what he's calling for. This is a call for unity, right? It's a call for unity. And if one member of the body is suffering, the whole body what? Suffers. If your big toe is throbbing, the rest of the body is hurting. And all the attention is focused on the big toe that's throbbing. That's the way it's to be in the body. Right? But if your head is rejoicing, the hands should be rejoicing and the feet should be rejoicing. The whole body ought to jump in, contribute, and rejoice. This is the Christian response. This is commanded by Christ, and it's cool. You know why? Because at any given time in your own life, you can have other people who are willing to comfort you. We need shoulders to cry on now and then. Have you ever been there? Where you're weeping, and you know, you just need somebody who would weep with you, who would listen to your hurt, understand why you're hurting, and probably be able to say, you know, I've been there. I hurt with you. And just there, they'll cry with you. If you're the one weeping, you want others to share the burden with you, and this is how we fulfill the law of Christ, right? We share one another's burdens, and we share one another's joys. You say, well, wait a second. What if it's both? Because at any given time in the church family, there can be those who are rejoicing and those who are weeping. So then what? You rejoice with the ones who are rejoicing when you're with the ones who are rejoicing. That might be in the morning. And then you go to the party in the afternoon. What if you are the one who's weeping? Do you have to go to the party? No. This is not a call for hypocrisy. This is not saying, look, you're weeping, but shut up, dry those tears, go to the party, put on your smiley face, put on the mask like you're happy, and just be happy. It's not a call for that. If you're the one who's weeping, then others need to come around you and weep with you. So, how do you do this? How do you do this? Well, it really isn't natural. It isn't a natural thing to really rejoice with those who are rejoicing or to really weep with those who are weeping. It's a supernatural thing. This is what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. So how do you do this? You pray, Lord, help me please to rejoice with my sister in Christ who's rejoicing. Or help me please to rejoice with my brother in Christ who is rejoicing. Or help me rejoice with that family who's rejoicing. And then you do like Ed, you buy the biggest card. Or you buy the biggest gift. Or you try to say the nicest thing. Or you do something to demonstrate, listen, I am with you. We are with you in this. I'm so happy for you. And you genuinely, sincerely rejoice with them. You can do that by the power of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. How do you weep with those who are weep? You know, you get involved in their situation. You try to understand and you think about when you have felt the same thing that they're feeling now. And you'll find yourself weeping with those who weep. You know, we were in Pennsylvania to celebrate and suddenly we found out that Pastor Joe's grandpa had died. And the people that we were staying with were weeping. And I hurt for them. They really wanted to come to Jake's graduation. They're weeping because grandpa died and then Judy got sick. You know, this morning, if you ask me, I'm kind of mixed. I've got reasons to rejoice. I've got reasons to weep. I wish Denise was here. I wish she was healthy. She wanted to be here today, and she's really sick, and I hope she's going to feel better. You know, and at any point in our own lives, we often have times, reasons to rejoice, and reasons to weep. So I think we understand, right? The first question was, what exactly does he have in mind? I hope that's clear. Why does he command this? Why would Jesus command us to do this? Well, let me ask you, is it good for us that when we're rejoicing, those around us rejoice with us? Is that good for us? It is, isn't it? It's so good for us. It adds to our joy. Is it good for us that when we're weeping, somebody else is weeping with us? Is that good for us? It is. It comforts us to know, thank you so much. We say that at a funeral, right? We say, thank you so much for coming. Why? Because they've come to mourn with us, to weep with us. It's good for us. Is it good for others? Think about that. Is it good for others? Is it good for anyone else who sees that we rejoice with one another or that we weep with one another? Yes, it is. It's good for them to see the kind of love and care that we have for each other in the family. I still remember the first time that Denise and I attended a Thanksgiving celebration where everyone in the family was a solid believer in Christ. And most of you, you know, you go to Thanksgiving, you go to Christmas, and maybe you have some family members there who aren't believers, and maybe you have some who are. But we were at a Thanksgiving celebration where everyone there was a true believer in Christ. They were all giving thanks to God the whole day long. And it was just joy like we hadn't experienced. It was amazing. And it was so good for us as brand new believers. It had an impact on us to be in that environment. And we remember praying, Lord, Lord, do that in our family. Let it be that our sons, when they grow up, would come to know Christ. And let it be that their grandchildren would come to know Christ. And let it be that anyone who comes into our family would see us celebrating Christ in our family and experience this kind of joy. Because it's good for others. And lastly, is it good for the gospel? And is it good for the glory of God? As I said, this makes our God look great because He is great. And so, by way of application, we just want to pray to this end. Very simple. We want to pray to this end. That God would give us opportunities to rejoice, which is a ministry. Opportunities to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And opportunities to weep with those who are weeping, which also is a ministry. For their good, for the good of the gospel, and for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for simple instruction. Thank You for this reminder, for this call, that we should rejoice with those who are rejoicing, not be envious, not be hard-hearted, not be apathetic, but truly rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And that we should weep with those who are weeping. We should hurt with them. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to do it for the glory of Christ and for the good of the gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing together once again. Jesus Christ, I think upon Your sacrifice.
Jesus Christ, I think upon Your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at Your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where You died. I'm humbled by Your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank You. Once again I pour out my love. Now You are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where You died. I'm humbled by Your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank You. Once again I pour out my love. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the cross, my friend.